A talk from the Bible on parenting. Why? Better question, why me? Because Costa asked is the most obvious question. But I'm not sure anyone really wants to give a talk on parenting. I think most of us who've been parents really feel like we're a little bit clueless. I still remember the first day I was a parent, our oldest child had been born, and it was a long, one of those 36-hour labour sort of ones. And so my wife, at the end of all that, said, well, I'm going to go off and have a shower. And it was just me and the baby in the room, all the nurses and the medical people left. And it was just me and our wee daughter in the room. And she started to cry, which is unusual for a baby. And I thought, well, I wonder how long until my wife is back from her shower. I didn't know. So I did the new dad thing. I opened the door to the corridor, hoping that the noise would go out into the corridor and all the way up to the nurse's station or something, and someone would hear. They did. A lovely lady, one of the midwives, came in, poked her head in, and said, "You all right?" I said, "Oh, the baby's crying." She said, "Oh, you're the dad?" "Yep." "You'll be all right." And she left. What do I do now? It's the moment that it hit me, this child is my responsibility. And it was only later, actually just in recent weeks, that I found the prayer of Manoah. The prayer of Manoah is in the Bible. This is a very helpful prayer for parents. Manoah, if you don't know who he is, he and his wife, they were unable to have children. And an angel of the Lord came to Manoah's wife and said, "You're about to have a baby." Now, that baby turns out to be Samson, famous Old Testament character. But the angel goes to the wife and she says, "You're about to have a baby." And so the wife goes to Manoah and she says, "Manoah, a man of God has come and said, we're about to have a baby." And then Manoah prays the prayer of Manoah. Okay, I'm going to write a book about this, so don't steal my idea. Here's the prayer of Manoah, Judges 13. "O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us, come again and teach us how to bring up the boy." What a brilliant prayer. Send me an angel to help me figure out what to do. Well, better than that today, we have the Bible, we have God's word to talk to us about parenting, what it is to be a parent. But before we start, I thought I should address the question of why should we listen to this? Now, it'll be obvious if you're a parent, you'll be interested in thinking about what does the Bible have to say about parenting? Because there's lots of free advice about parenting. You can ask your family and friends. Sometimes you don't even ask, and they'll just tell you what they think anyway. Your mother-in-law may have advice for you on how to raise your children. You can jump online, you can look at the blogs, at the magazines, plenty of free advice. But since God is the one who makes children, and God is the one who created families, it's even better to go back to God's word and say, "You tell us about parenting." I'm also aware that there will be people here who are not yet parents. Might be something that you are hoping for, planning for in the future, but at the moment you're not yet parents. Why should you listen? Well, somebody raised a good point with my wife in the last couple of weeks. They said, you know, it's funny, when you get married, you go and hang out with the minister or the pastor, and they give you some advice, you might do some Bible studies together, marriage prep, getting you ready for being married. It's a great idea. What about parenting prep? We never had that. Well, if this is you, if children are something for your future, consider this morning parenting prep. Third group, though, I'm aware that there will be people here who are not parents at present and may not be parents in the future either. It might be that you think, well, actually, I've been a parent, my children are grown up, and parenting is done for me. Or it may be that for whatever reason, you don't get married, you're unable to have children, or you decide not to have children. So why should you listen to a Bible talk on parenting? I think one of the things about being a Christian is when God saves us, he saves us into a family. He brings us into his church, his people. And if you're part of this church, there are people in your church, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, who are parents. And they will come to you from time to time for encouragement, or maybe for advice, or at the very least, you could be praying for them. Well, what do we pray? What do we say? How do we encourage parents in this congregation? I think a good way to think about that is to look at the Bible. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at three passages this morning. briefly look at three, and they are three passages that I think, if you kind of think, what does the Bible teach about parenting, most likely these three passages will come up. If you Google, what does the Bible say about parenting, at least these three will come up. Or if you buy a book on Christian parenting from the Christian bookshop, we'll find these three. So let's look at them together and see what we can see from three passages. The first, and stick with Deuteronomy by all means. The other two will come up on the screen, so you don't have to flick around. But the first is from Psalm. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. And I think a key point for this is, God makes a child, so God makes a parent. If God's the one who makes children, then God's the one who makes parents. So let's have a look at these verses. Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Psalm 139 is a psalm where the writer's David, he's really amazed at how great and big God is. And so he starts out in the first six verses talking about God is so great and so big that he knows everything about me. So David says things like, "You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar, you discern my going out, my lying down, you're familiar with all my ways. God knows everything about me." And then in verses 7 to 12, he talks about the fact that because God is everywhere, you can't run away from him. You can never get away from God. So he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea." Anywhere you go, God is there. And then he gets to our verses that we have up here on the screen. And he's amazed that God knows him because God made him. God knows him because God made him. And there's some implications in that for us as parents and as families. First of all, God made your kids, so he knows them better than you do. We'll come back to that one. Secondly, because God made your kids, that means God has made you a parent. Now, some people plan to have have more than one. Let's put an S on it. Some people plan to have children. For others, it's a happy surprise. For others, just a surprise. But it is not a surprise for God. God made this child, and so God has made you a parent if it's your child, and given you a responsibility to care for and to raise this child. Third implication is, when you have that wonderful conversation that comes up at some point, usually not a convenient point either, "Dad, where do babies come from?" I have a better answer for you than, "I don't know, ask your mother, I'm going outside to wash the lawn." The answer is here in Psalm 100, I didn't say that exactly. The answer is here in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you, God, created my inmost being." Where do babies come from? They come from God. And then secondly, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." They come from a mummy's tummy. There you go. Problem solved. Let's move on. My wife has a cousin. He's a particularly clever fellow. And one of the things he did about 14, 15 years ago, before they were even really a thing, he made his own electric car. So he got an old dunger of a car and took out all the engine and figured out, put in batteries and figured out how to make this car an electric car. And back then, there really weren't that many electric cars even being sold. So he had to take it specially to Wellington on the back of a truck to have professionals look at it and work out whether you could even drive this thing on New Zealand roads. He was well ahead of his time, made it all himself in his spare time outside of work. Nowadays, if you want an electric car, you can just go to the car yard. Yourself a hybrid or a plug-in electric hybrid or one of those fancy Teslas I see driving around with the fancy people in them. Anyone got a Tesla? No, don't put your hand up. But, you know. So let me ask you, who knows more about electric cars? The person who goes down to the car yard and just gets one off the lot, or Adam, my wife's cousin, who made his own? Of course it's him. Who knows the most about our children? God does. Because he made them. Which means a couple of things for us, I think. God made our kids, therefore we should value our children as a gift from God. Now, it's very easy to say when they're little babies, because little babies have a habit of being cute when they're sleeping. Lovely, cute little babies. Then you get to the point where they're teenagers, and you still have to remind yourself, this is still a gift from God, and I should praise him for this gift and their room and everything living in it. But it also means as a church, we should praise God for the kids who are a part of our church. We thank God that he has sent children to our church, and we get to support and pray for their families, and we get to teach them about Jesus. We thank God for them when they're in kids' church. We thank God for them when they're playing outside. We thank God when our 4 p.m. kids are breaking the window back there. They are always a gift from God. But because God made them and God knows them, that means that really the best parenting advice you're ever going to get is going to be here in this book. No one knows what people are like better than God. So our best parenting advice would come from here. But it also means that when I can't work my kids out, I just have no idea what's going on for them. There seems to be something wrong and I can't get through to them. They don't seem to be listening. What's going on in our family? I can pray to a God who knows these kids better than anyone because he made them. And he will always listen when you ask him for help. So if God knows our kids that well, what advice does he have for us? Now we get back to Deuteronomy. That's our second passage, Deuteronomy 6. And I'm going to read just verses 4 to 9 again for you. The big point I think here is parents should teach their children about the Lord. That was Pete's big point for the kids' talk, really good kids' talk. Parents should teach their kids about the Lord. So, chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, what Moses is doing here in Deuteronomy is he's reminding God's people, the Israelites, he's reminding them of two things, I think. One is the rescue that God has achieved for them. They were slaves in Egypt, and God has gone and rescued Israel from their slavery and brought them out of Egypt. And Moses is reminding them of that. But then secondly, he's reminding them of the rules, that is the way that God wants them to live, when they get into the promised land. That's where they're about to cross into. And as Moses speaks God's words to God's people, he gives a job to parents. And that job is to teach or impress these truths on their children. Now, it's interesting that when you think about being a parent, you start to think through all sorts of questions like, what about dummies, pacifiers? Are they in? Are they out? You know, my wife's grandma said you should dip them in honey or whiskey. Bad idea. But what do you do about that? How about toilet training? Someone on the internet says they toilet train their kids in one day. How do I achieve that? Good question. Still figuring that one out. Sticker charts? Are they a good idea or are they bribery? How about timeouts? How long is a good timeout these days? And, of course, that ever-contentious issue, what about school? Public school, private school, Christian school, homeschool? What should I do? Ask a friend over morning tea, have a fight. Good. These are all the questions that we come to the Bible with, but what does God turn around and say to parents, first of all? He says, teach your kids. Teach your kids about what? Teach your kids about me. That's a big thing. Teach your kids about God. Verse 4, teach them about the nature of God. So verse 4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Teach them that there is only one true and living God. Teach them that this one God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We just spoke about that in our creed. Teach them that this one God made the whole world. that he makes the rules. He gets to tell us how we live. And teach them that this God sent his one and only Son into the world, and if you really want to know what this God is like, you look at Jesus. So teach them about the nature of God. Secondly, teach them about the laws and ways of God. That's in verses 5 and 6. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Those are the commands to impress on your children. Teach your children the laws and ways of God. Teach them about how God wants them to live in his world, because we should live his way in his world. But thirdly, I do want to add, teach your children about the grace and kindness of God. It's not enough just to teach them that there's a great big God out there and here are all the rules that he has for you. Good luck. It doesn't work like that. We need to teach our children about the grace and kindness of God, because remember where we are in Deuteronomy 6. Moses is reminding God's people about the rescue that God has given them, delivered to them for free. So this section starts off in chapter 5. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He's a rescuing God. He's a God who helps people who cannot help themselves. And then in the beginning of chapter 6, he says, these are the commands, decrees, laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. He's a God who will give you this land. He's a God who will give you a free gift that you don't deserve. We can't just teach our kids about the rules that God has for them and hope it all works out, because you and I know we can't keep those rules. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. We have all said no to God and decided that we know best, we know how to live in his world. But God has rescued us in his grace and kindness by sending Jesus into the world. Jesus, the only person who ever did what God wanted them to do, the only person who ever said what God wanted him to say, the only person who ever thought exactly what God wanted him to think, the perfect obedient Son who died in our place to offer us forgiveness. And then he sent us his Spirit to help us live for him. Your kids need to know about the grace and kindness of God, a patient God who offers forgiveness to anyone who will turn to him, no matter how much of a mess they've made of their lives. And kids can make a mess of their lives. God can deal with that. And when are we to teach them? Well, verses 7 to 9 tell us absolutely every opportunity. When you're going for a walk, when you're eating at the dinner table, going to sleep, getting up, any time is a good time. I decided when I was a young person that it would be a good idea to learn the trumpet. Probably say something about my relationship with my parents. I brought home a trumpet. Let's learn the trumpet, shall we? Brought home a trumpet. My parents sent me off to lessons. And I must say, these days I can't play the trumpet. Actually, in those days I couldn't play it either, because I gave it exactly that much practice. I didn't really practice at all. Occasionally I had the odd blast just before the lesson because I knew I was about to be singled out in the lesson, but I just didn't really practice. Now, when we've had kids, we've got four, we've made every single one of them learn an instrument for a year because we really want them to, you know, learn an instrument. Made them all do it. At exactly 1 year after they started, they all quit. Fantastic. Except for one, while she quit, but now she's come back to playing the guitar again. And she often goes and closes the door to her room, and she's got a little app on her phone. She just sits there, and you can faintly hear through the door, she's playing along, learning the guitar. Just a little bit every day, because she wants to, because she enjoys it. It's interesting, isn't it? How do you learn an instrument? With a once-a-week lesson that you barely perfect? No. Just little by little every day. God says to parents, I want you to teach your children about me. When you're going for a walk, when you get up, just little by little, through the day, teach them about me. It's the most important job we have as parents. That means that we will have conversations with our kids when we least expect it about the Lord. It means they will ask us tricky questions and we will want to have an answer or say, I don't know, I'll go find out and I'll come back to you. Everyday conversations. It means when our kids are younger, we'll have wee Bible story books and we'll try and read along. Grandparents, have you got some wee Bible story books that you can read to the grandkids when they come round? It'll mean family devotions. Those can be tricky, can't they? Those I've tried them. The old dinner table chaos. Try and have a devotion. Anyway, it's worth a try. It means we will bring our kids along to church and make this a priority. We want them to hear about Jesus in kids' church and in youth group. It means for those of us who are here, we have an opportunity, even if we're not parents, to see some of the kids come back from kids' church or from youth and to ask, what have you been learning about? What was happening at kids' church? Tell me about youth group. Just everyday conversations to teach our kids about the Lord. Well, let's go to our last passage, Ephesians 6. And once again, these words will come up on the screen if you don't want to turn there. This is Ephesians 6, 1-4. And the main point, I think, here is parents should train their children to live for the Lord. Parents should train their children to live for the Lord. So Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is a fantastic memory verse, this one. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Children are given one big job in the Bible, and that is to obey their parents. But what kind of parents? Well, these verses tell us, not parents who exasperate their children, who wind them up, make them cross. For some reason, this is directed at fathers. How rude. I have special skills here. Not the kind of fathers who exasperate their children, but parents who will bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, those two words together, I think they have both a positive and a kind of negative sense. So training is something positive. Let me teach you something new. Let me show you something new. Let me model what it is to live for the Lord to you. But there's also an idea of correction and discipline when it's needed, because none of us get it right all the time, do we? And we do need people to let us know when we're going the wrong way and to help us get back on track. And parents, this is our role with our kids. And notice that it's the training and instruction of the Lord. This isn't just about me making up my own arbitrary rules and chucking them on the kids. This is about me trying to teach my children God's rules and God's ways. Because as parents, we represent God's authority. It's not just that we want kids to obey us. We want them to learn to obey him. So we have to do a good job of representing God's authority. Not harsh, not abusive, not flying off the handle. God who gives boundaries, a God who is fair, a God who is patient, a God who is kind and gracious when we don't deserve it. That's who we're trying to represent. I think there's two ways you can fall off the horse, as they say. When it comes to exasperating your kids, no, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I think one way is that we can be too harsh. And some of us as parents, we're inclined towards being a bit too harsh on our kids and not demonstrating for them the kindness and patience of God at times. I think it's also possible for some parents to think, well, the loving thing to do is not to discipline my kids, just have a couple of free-range ones out the backyard doing whatever they want. Talk to most teachers and most parents. They will let you know, actually, kids like having boundaries, like fair boundaries, you know, decent ones, but kids want to be guided and helped and shown how they are to live in this world. Of course, the tricky part is, I think I'm the awkward combination of both, where sometimes as a parent, you can't be bothered, you can't be bothered, you can't be bothered, and then you snap. That's no good either. Don't exasperate your kids in that way. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This speaks to us, doesn't it, of the goal of parenting. What is the goal of being a parent, according to the Bible? It's that we would do our best to raise up our kids, to know the Lord, and to live for him. That's the goal. Now, we have to do what we can, but we can't do it all for them, can we? I have four kids. I pray that one day they will all know the Lord and live for him. But I have to pray because it's actually not all on me. And if my kids do grow up to know the Lord and to live his way, it actually doesn't matter if they never went to university. It doesn't matter if they were never a sports star. It doesn't matter if they never get this music scholarship to the school I want them to go to. It doesn't matter if they never travel the world or have what others view as a successful, well-paying job. These are the dreams that sometimes we put on our kids. But the Bible has this goal for us as parents, that we would do our best to raise our children to know the Lord and to live his way. And if we're going to get even close to that, we need to ask the God who knows them best to help. And let's pray for each other as we do it. Let's pray for our kids now, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and kind and generous Father. We thank you for all of the children in our lives and the children in this church. They are a good gift from you. You made them and you know them. Please help us as parents and help us as a church to do what we can to raise these little ones to know the Lord and to live his way. We pray most of all that we would point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when they don't know you and when they are not living your way, the Lord Jesus is mighty to save. We thank you for Jesus and commit our children to you and to him. And in his name we pray. Amen.